And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News, with Paul Hill.
The US Supreme Court is set this week to hear a closely watched case testing the limits of religious rights, which all began on a Lutheran church's school playground. New Justice Neil Gorsuch's judicial record indicates he could tip the court towards siding with a church challenging Missouri's ban on state funding of religious entities. Trinity Lutheran Church, which is located in Columbia, Missouri, and runs a preschool and daycare center, said Missouri unlawfully excluded it from a grant program providing state funds to nonprofit groups to buy rubber playground surfaces. Missouri's constitution prohibits any church, sect, or denomination of religion from receiving state taxpayer money. Gorsuch, who embraced an expansive view of religious rights as a Colorado-based federal appeals court judge, on Monday hears his first argument since becoming a justice last week. He will be on the bench when the justices hear the Trinity Lutheran case, one of the most important of their current term. Gorsuch, appointed by President Donald Trump, restored the Supreme Court's 5-4 conservative majority. Trinity Lutheran wanted public funds to replace its playground's gravel with a rubber surface made from recycled tires that would be safer for children to play on. The US Constitution calls for a separation of church and state and guarantees the free exercise of religion. At the very least, a victory for Trinity Lutheran would help religious organizations nationwide win public dollars for certain purposes, such as health and safety. But it could also bolster the case for using public money for vouchers to help pay for children to attend religious schools rather than public schools in school choice programs backed by many conservatives. For example, Colorado's top court in 2015 found that a Douglas County voucher program violated a state constitutional provision similar to Missouri's. Trinity Lutheran's legal effort is being spearheaded by the Alliance Defending Freedom conservative Christian legal activist group, which argues Missouri's policy violates the U.S. Constitution's guarantees of free exercise of religion and equal protection under the law. If the church wins, religious organizations cannot be excluded from general public welfare benefits that apply to everybody, said Eric Stanley, an Alliance lawyer representing the church. Referring to Gorsuch, Stanley said, "He has definitely been a friend of religious liberty, so we are hopeful that that will continue when he's on the court, and we're grateful he gets to participate on this important case." In 2013, Gorsuch sided with the evangelical Christian owners of arts and crafts retailer Hobby Lobby and allowed owners of private companies to object on religious grounds to a provision in federal healthcare law requiring employers to provide medical insurance that pays for women's birth control. Gorsuch wrote in a concurring opinion that Hobby Lobby's owners faced a choice between exercising their faith or saving their business. The Supreme Court later affirmed the ruling. Missouri said there is nothing unconstitutional about its grant program. Trinity Lutheran remains free, without any public subsidy, to worship, teach, pray, and practice any other aspect of its faith however it wishes. The state merely declines to offer financial support, the state said in legal papers. The church has drawn support from the religious community, including the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, the Mormon Church, and Jewish groups. Groups filing legal papers opposing Trinity Lutheran, including the American Civil Liberties Union, said government funding of churches is precisely what the Constitution forbids. Forcing states to provide cash to build church property could open the floodgates to programs that coerce taxpayers to underwrite religion, said Daniel Match, director of the ACLU's program on freedom of religion and belief. Match said three-quarters of the U.S. states have provisions like Missouri's. Trinity Lutheran sued in federal court in 2012. The St. Louis-based 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in 2015 upheld a trial court's dismissal of the suit. The appeals court said accepting the church's arguments would be unprecedented, noting the Supreme Court's 2004 decision in the case of Locke v. Davy that upheld a bar on Washington State scholarships for students preparing for the ministry. The justice who Gorsuch replaced, the late fellow conservative Antonin Scalia, was one of two dissenters in the Locke ruling. When a state withholds a generally available benefit solely on religious grounds, it's like an unconstitutional special tax on religion, Scalia said. Missouri's grant program was meant to keep tires out of landfills while also fostering children's safety. The church's brief to the High Court stated, "A rubber playground surface accomplishes the state purposes, whether it cushions the fall of the pious or the profane." The remains of five Archbishops of Canterbury in England have been found inside a secret tomb underneath the church in a discovery hailed as astonishing. St Mary at Lambeth Church, next to Lambeth Palace, the official London residence of the Archbishop of Canterbury, is currently home to the Garden Museum. Just over a year ago, while builders were renovating the deconsecrated medieval parish church, they discovered an entry to a hidden crypt as they lifted up some slabs. Speaking in a video which the Garden Museum posted online, Carl Patton, site manager of Roof Limited, said the find amounted to a very interesting day. "We were exposing the ground as part of the job, and we were lifting the slabs in the ark area, and we uncovered an entry to what looked like a tomb," he said. "We got a camera on the end of a stick and discovered numerous coffins, and one of them had a gold crown on top of it." Christopher Woodward, director of the Garden Museum, said the multi-million renovation works were going incredibly smoothly until he received an urgent call from Mr. Patton. "I came in thinking this sounds like bad news, problem, and wow, and it's the crown. It's the mitre of an archbishop gleaming there in the dark," he added. Mr. Woodward revealed in the video there are five archbishops buried in the tomb. He said one of these is Richard Bancroft, who became archbishop in 1604 and who chaired the committee that wrote the King James Bible, published in 1611. Bancroft and John Moore were identified by the nameplates on the coffins, and the museum said they believe Frederick Cornwallis, Matthew Hutton, and Thomas Tennyson are also inside. With at least 20 coffins identified, Mr. Woodward said they still don't know who else is down there. Wesley Kerr, former chairman of the Heritage Lottery Fund in London, said the find is really astonishing and one of the most incredible things he has seen. "To know that possibly the person that commissioned the King James Bible is buried here is the most incredible discovery and greatly adds to the texture of this project," he added. Mr. Woodward said they knew there was no crypt because it is so close to the Thames that it would have flooded. "We also know that in the 1850s, when the Victorians remodeled the church, they pretty much cleared hundreds, if not thousands, of coffins out to make this new building with underfloor heating," he added. Mr. Woodward said, "Every archaeologist in London has looked at the building and that no one told them to expect to find anything during the renovation works." The museum began in 1977 in a bid to stop the Church of St. Mary's and the burial place of John Tradescant, considered the first great gardener in British history, from being demolished. Focusing on the design, history and culture of the gardens, in 2008 galleries, exhibition and education spaces were created as part of the first phase of the museum's transformation. In October 2015, it closed for 18 months to allow building restoration works to take place, as well as the extension of existing gallery space and the creation of a new garden. Supported with a grant from the Heritage Lottery Fund, the Garden Museum said the £7.5 million redevelopment is expected to be completed this spring. To mark last Easter weekend, because it's not all about chocolate, the world's most and least religious countries have been mapped. Based on a map of the results of three Gallup polls taken in 2008, 2009 and 2015. Each asked respondents whether or not they felt religious. For each country, the most recent figures available are included. According to the surveys, five countries tie for the title of the most religious. In each of Ethiopia, Malawi, Niger, Sri Lanka and Yemen, 99% of those questioned answered yes. A further four, Burundi, Djibouti, Mauritania and Somalia, saw 98% reply in the affirmative. The top 10 of the 20 most religious countries are: first, Ethiopia, 99%, Malawi, Niger, Sri Lanka, Yemen and Burundi with 98%, Djibouti, Mauritania, Somalia and Afghanistan at number 10 with 97%. The most religious regions are Africa and the Middle East, with Southeast Asia and Latin America not far behind. Faith is important to many southern European countries too, with 74% of Italians and 71% of Greek claiming to feel religious. Poland stands out against the rest of Europe, with 86% answering yes to the poll. Paraguay would appear to be South America's most religious country. Around 3 in 10 Britons feel religious, it suggests, compared to 56% of Americans. The least religious countries, on the other hand, include Japan, Estonia, Sweden, Norway and the Czech Republic. But China surpasses them all with only 7%. And the 20 least religious countries are: first is China with 7%, Japan 13%, Estonia 16%, Sweden 19%, Norway 21%, Czech Republic 23%, Hong Kong 26%, Netherlands 26%, number 9 Israel, number 10 the UK with 30%, 11 New Zealand with 33%, 12 Australia 34%, Azerbaijan 34%, Belarus at 14% with 34%, 15 comes in at Cuba, 34%, 16 Germany, 34%, Vietnam, the same, 18 Spain, 37%, 19 Switzerland, 38%, and finally number 20, Albania, 39%. Three other countries, Austria, Hungary and Luxembourg, also returned a result of 39%. The Church of Scotland has been asked to apologise for its history of discrimination against gay people and could be a step closer to allowing ministers to perform same-sex marriages. A report to be debated at the Kirk's General Assembly in May proposes having a church committee research, allowing nominated ministers and deacons to carry out the ceremonies, but wants to retain the ability for contentious refusal from those opposed to same-sex marriage. The report by the Theological Forum of the Church of Scotland also calls for the Church to take stock of its history of discrimination at different levels and in different ways against gay people, and to apologise individually and corporately and seek to do better. The report states, "We recognise that as a church we have often failed to recognise and protect the identity and Christian vocation of gay people, and believe that the church as a whole should acknowledge its faults." A range of theological perspectives on same-sex marriage are examined in the paper. These range from the traditionalist opinion, based on the view that biblical writers condemned same-sex acts, meaning the church had to forbid it, to more inclusive arguments, that the writing was made in cultural context very different from our own, and referred to individual acts rather than committed and faithful people willing to enshrine their relationships in vows before God. The report continues, "There are those who are reluctant to extend use of the term marriage to same-sex couples on the grounds that what they do is intrinsically unnatural and a violation of the oft-claimed complementarity of a man and a woman. The counter-argument is evidently that it is natural to them. Homosexuality is more common in nature than may be realized," in brackets. It concludes, "The Forum does not believe there are sufficient theological grounds to deny nominated individual ministers and deacons the authority to preside at same-sex marriages. The proposed major shift in policy follows controversial moves to appoint the first openly gay minister, the Reverend Scott Rennie, in 2009, and last year's decision to allow ministers to be in same-sex marriages. Gay marriage became legal in Scotland in 2014, but the Church of Scotland has protection under the Equalities legislation, and the research by the Legal Questions Committee will aim to ensure officials who refuse to carry out the services cannot be prosecuted." The Reverend Rennie welcomed the report and said he hoped it would lead to ministers being able to carry out same-sex marriages. He told BBC Radio Scotland, "I would be surprised if it doesn't." Over the last 10 years or more, the Church has step by step been taking a move to more inclusion. Up to now, the General Assembly has constantly moved, some would say too slowly, but I'm more pragmatic. I think it has moved in a good direction. It is recognised, and this report recognises, the place of Christian vocation of thousands of LGBT people within the Kirk's membership and adherents, so I would be quite hopeful that we could move forward. He added, "I don't think there's anything wrong with apologising, but what I think is more important than apologising is having the commitment to stop discriminating and to move forward for the future." And finally, many newspapers carried photos of two rival parishes on the Greek island of Chios that celebrated Easter Saturday by firing rockets at each other. Each year, the Orthodox congregations of the Agios Marcus, St. Mark's, and Panagia Erythani, the Virgin Mary of Erythani churches, sit on opposite hilltops in the town of Rontados and launch tens of thousands of homemade fireworks at each other. It is known as rocket war and is a variation of the Greek tradition of throwing rockets during Easter celebrations. The objective is to hit the bell tower of the church on the other side. It is not recorded who won this year.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.